track session number 12538, Reel 2.
Mr. Van Krieken, Reel 2.
Yeah. So, and then we had to take it to the edge of the roof lock and just dip it over the top. All the sides, of course, were shuttering off so that the concrete wouldn't run away. And all that work, well, that took several weeks or months even to do.
This was at La Rochelle Docks?
Yeah, at La Rochelle Docks, yes. Yeah. La Palisse, really. La Palisse is a little harbour place just on the north of La Rochelle, a matter of 1 kilometer away. But they always called it La Rochelle, really, you know. So,
did you get any British air raids there at La Palisse?
Now, funny enough, when I was there, no. There was no air raid there at all. But a brother of mine, who was a year older than me, he was transported there as well, to exactly the same place as me. And he was involved in an air raid. But there was no direct hit on the bunker itself. It all finished up in the big yards alongside it. So no damage was done to the bunkers. So, let's see then. From there, yeah, again, I tell you, we put up some rough treatments or so. One German OT guard, he smacked me across the face, for no reason at all, really. We were with a group of 3 or 4 chaps, and we were sort of standing together and talking and laughing a bit and giggling a bit. And his OT guard stood perhaps 5-10 meters away from us, and he was sort of watching us. And by us standing there laughing and giggling a bit, he probably thought that we were laughing and giggling about him. See? So all of a sudden he started walking towards me, and he gave one of us a clip across the face that sent us flying. And that man, that happened to be me, because I was the closest by to him. And from that day onwards, my left ear started ringing and making funny noises, and it has never stopped since, ever since that day.
You even have it today?
Yes, even today. And as the years went on, I could gradually deafen that one ear. Not totally deaf, but the doctor reckons I'm 3/4 deaf in that one ear. And it could be through the result of that one blow from by the German. And with my right ear, that's all right. I can hear that all right.
So he hit you really hard?
Oh, yes. He gave me a reset. It's like that, you know. And the doctor says that compression of that could have developed damage to the eardrum.
Because he hit you with his hand cupped?
Yes. That's what he's doing, you see. So, then one day, when we were in a barracks in the evening, they started calling out a list of names. And my name was amongst it. We had to be ready the next morning at 5 o'clock with everything we possessed for transport to another place. So the next morning we were ready and we were transported to the railway station. And off we went. And we finished up in St. Malo. And the French coast there as well.
Still under the OT?
Under the OT, yes. Yeah.
Did you have to wear a special uniform for the organization tot?
Us? Oh, no, not us. No. We were just in the only clothes we came in, and they all began to wear and tear, the knees are falling through, and all our shoes broken. We were more or less like a type of slave labor, you know. And they never gave us any clothing, ever. You had to bring everything from home, you know. And if it wore out, well, it was your bad luck.
Did you get any pay?
Oh, yes, we did get pay, funny enough. That was all part, what I call, part of the contract. We had what then translated in English money, it would be 1 shilling and 2 pence an hour. Oh, that's in Guernsey, it was 1 shilling and 2 pence an hour. So,
did you have rations?
a Russian, like in La Rochelle in France. No, we were fed by the Germans. Like every midday, they came along with kettles of soup. And the soup was so watery that you couldn't even eat it with a spoon. You just had to drink it, you know. I drank it like that, and then the kettle with soup was gone. It was like just cold as water. And we were starving there, you know. It's just cool.
And bread?
And bread, well, in the evening you got a ration of bread. But more often as you were so hungry, you almost ate it in the evening, and then you had nothing for the morning, for breakfast. And then you had to go back to work with no breakfast. Waiting for your kettle of soup at dinner time.
What was in the soup?
Well, on top of pea soup with a few shells driving on top of it, or sunk towards the bottom, you know. And well, it was very, very poor, you know. So,
so you said you went to St. Malo?
When we...
You were moved to St. Malo?
Yes, yeah. So there, as well, we were put in a big army barracks. It used to belong to the French army. And there as well, we had our ups and downs. One evening, we were lined up to get a ration of soup. And there was something going on. One or two bosses started fighting because he reckons he took his place or something like that. They started scuffling a bit. And one of these OT guards came along with a big broom handle he found somewhere and started lambasting us around with the broom handle. So the order was soon restored. That sort of thing, you know. So we were there for about a fortnight.
What were you doing there? Were you working at St. Malo?
Oh, yes. Mostly in the harbor. And then as well...
As dock work, unloading?
Dock work, unloading and so. But me, I was put in working in an hotel, getting the place ready for German officers to move into, the German army. We had to get it ready for them. So there was a lot of alteration to do and a lot of painting and that sort of thing, you know. And we had to do a bit of all sorts to clean the place up. But we were only there for a fortnight. And then again the next morning, one evening they called our names again, and we had to be prepared the next morning to go off again. And then they took us to the harbor, and they put us on a boat. But we never knew where we were going. Yeah. So, and when the boat finally left, we were at sea for hours and hours and end, you know. So the boat left at 7 o'clock in the morning exactly. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was about this time then, you could say, at 3 o'clock, that we arrived in Guernsey at the White Rock down here. So it took us 8 hours then, 7 hours, 2 and 3, right? That's 8 hours it took us from St. Malo to Guernsey.
Was it, which year was this?
That was still in 1942. Yeah.
In summer or spring or autumn?
No, in August. August 1942 must have been. Yeah. Because the exact date, funny enough, I cannot remember, but by the time of the year, it was beautiful weather when we arrived. Must have been August 1942.
Did you know where you had come to?
Did I know?
Where you had come to?
No. When we arrived at the White Rock, we got ashore. And there was a group of chaps working there. And one of our boys, he spoke a mouthful of English. And he heard them talk amongst one another. He said they're talking English amongst one another. So, but me, I didn't speak a single word of English. But I walked with two or three chaps over to this crowd of chaps there. And we said to them, you, who are you? You're English? And one of the chaps said, I think they're prisoners of war, you know, but they don't wear no uniform. Said, they can't be prisoners. And we said again, who are you? Are you English? No, they said, we're Guernsey. We live here, and they pointed towards the town, mean to say that they live here in the island. And it was then that it dawned on us that these islands were British, and that the Germans had occupied them. And then, yes, some of the chaps said, I remember, yes, I seen something of it in the paper some time ago, a long time ago now, but it went a long time, perhaps 12 months ago, you know. And then it came all back to us that these islands were British. We never knew nothing about it. They completely forgotten it, you know. So they took us to Langres.
To where?
To Langres, and in the north of the island. They billeted us in a row of bungalows. And I had a little camera in the bottom of my suitcase, so I took photographs. And one of the photographs, when the day I arrived there, is still in that book. So, and there we were to put the work on those German bunkers along the coast in Plainmont and so. Digging and moving rocks and that sort of thing. And again, the food was very poor in this island. And again, we had to work hard. But on Monday, they picked out 5 chaps to go and work down the town in the harbor at the White Rock. And I was one of the 5. So they brought us down to town to put us in a house in town. And then the next day we were put to work at the White Rock unloading boats. And then things improved a bit. What I mean to say is we were unloading food, like bags with flour and sugar and peas and that sort of thing. Anything edible. So we used to poke a little hole in the bags and let the peas run out or let the sugar run out and just fill up our pockets. And then in the evening walked home with that, you know. So we had some peas to eat or we put 1 or 2 potatoes in our pockets. And so one by another we helped ourselves and had something to eat, you know. And that is how it went on for a long time. And but we were shown from one place to another. And then one day we were transported to a road close by here in town, what they called Melrose Avenue. That was opposite the girls' grammar school, or the ex-girls' grammar school, rather. And from there we were transported to work every morning in the food stores all over the island. One day it might have been the harbor, and the next day somewhere out to St. Peter's or St. Andrews, all over the place. But again, that was under the German army itself. We had nothing to do with the OT then. We were used what they called loaned to the German army, you know.
You were loaned by the organization Todt to the Wehrmacht.
To the Wehrmacht, yes, yes, yes. So, again, we had to put up a bit of nonsense sometimes. And except one of them, a certain unteroffizier, Schreiber, his name was, he used to drink. And always when he had been drinking the evening before, we used to be in for a rough time the next day. So one morning, I walked out of my house there where I was billeted, and they happened to spot me. He said, "You come here," he said. "Why don't you say good morning to me?" So I said, "Good morning." But he said, "You didn't say good morning just now. And where are you going?" I said, "I had to go to 4R, that was an office in Mandaran, where I had to go and do some work, cutting firewood for the German soldiers to light a fire in open fire like that." So, "Onatan, off you go," he said. And he attempted to give me a kick in the pants, but he just missed it by an inch, but I actually felt the boot in the back of my trousers sort of skimmed off, you know. If I would have been a little bit closer, I would have kicked in the pants, good and proper, you know.
What was his name?
Schreiber.
Schreiber?
Schreiber, yeah. And of his Schreiber. So, and then, apparently after the war, I was told he was a policeman in Hamburg. And he has been back to Guernsey then since, for a holiday, but of course I've never met him. But I've been told by other chaps who used to know him as well during the war. I wish I'd met him again, that bloke. So there you are. Where do we go from here then? I don't know.
You say we. Were you with people who were Dutchmen or
yes.
other nationalities?
Yeah. They picked up 5 Dutchmen, 5 Flemish and 5 Frenchmen. 15 of us all together. Why they did that, I don't know.
So you were a work party?
A work party, yes. Yeah. But they kept us Dutchmen more, all us together, you see. And
do you remember the names of anybody else who was
yes,
in your work
if
party?
You give me that book there, then...
you've got the names written in your book. We should say your book is called Destination Gustav.
Yeah. The Germans used to call Guernsey Gustav, and Jersey as well by another name, and Alderney. I cannot think of all the names now.
You know. It was a code name.
A code name, yeah, but they used to Germanize it, you see. Now here, see.
You have a photograph of your colleagues. Your
yes, wife. That was us 5 Dutchmen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you see. That is me there. That is named Wessels, Kloosterman, Brandt and Versluis. You see, Brandt, Versluis, Kloosterman. Now, these Germans were in charge of us at the White Rock. You see? So you can see how well dressed, all in ordinary working clothes. And they were in charge of us. Now, that German, it was his birthday. And they went to pick him a bunch of flowers, wild flowers they found somewhere in the bushes and so. And they gave it to him as a birthday present. So as well, this photograph was taken with my camera. I asked him, if I bring my camera along, do you mind if I take a photograph? And they said, it was all right, you know. So I brought my little camera along.
Why did you pick the flowers as a birthday present for him?
Well, his German mates doing that.
His friends did it.
Yes, these other Germans, you know. But so, those Germans as well, Unteroffizier Wagner, that was him, Obergefreiter Otto, so him, I don't know his name, and that was Soldat Schwartz, and him, I don't know his name either.
Were you friendly with any of the Germans?
Friendly? Well, as good as can be expected. One had to sort of mix with them, and one had to be sort of sociable and polite. But friendly, no. We didn't get friendly with them, and they didn't get friendly with us. You know, we were, in a way of talking, ordinary low-class workers, in a way of talking, to them that was. Because there's only one decent race in all of Europe, and that is a German race. Anybody else, you know, good. Not even the Britons, if it comes to that. And you were treated accordingly. You see? You must have heard that expression. They were the master race. And you were nobody. You were just loaned out to them to work. And it's all you were fit for, to work.
How was your food on Guernsey? Was it any better than it had been in France?
Well, when I worked for those Germans, for the Wehrmacht, yeah, the food was really good. Because you were fed by them, not by the OT. And then at times, again, this was more or less in the beginning of the war. And that was pretty good, you know. Yeah, that was really good.
Did you ever make any friends with the Guernsey people, or were you kept apart from the Guernsey people?
Oh, no. We were free. I said around 5 o'clock, I think, you know, it was more or less like 6 o'clock you worked to, you know. And then you were free to do as you liked. Because you must not mistake us for proper slave labor, which we were not. We were forced labor. And we were sort of under contract with them. I mean, say, we had a so-called contract from labor office in Holland that we were allowed home every 6 months for 1 week and every 12 months for 2 weeks. So, mean to say, then you had 3 weeks holiday a year. And at so much an hour. And me, I was registered as a carpenter. I had 1 shilling and 2 pence an hour. Whereas all my other mates here, they only had 1 shilling an hour. But we will not pay that money here in a fall. They used to send it to the labor office in Holland. And from Holland, your father and mother had to go and collect it. And save it up for you. Which my father and mother did. So, but of course, you were still a low-class worker, you know. Here, this is a slightly better photograph here. You see, that's Jan Versuys again. And that's me. And they're 2 Flemish workers.
So, you were a forced labourer, but some other people on Guernsey were slave labourers.
To other people on Guernsey?
Some other people on Guernsey, were they slave labourers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what you mean now. Yeah, yes, of course. There was a lot of Algerians and Spaniards and so from the Spanish Revolution, and all kind of chaps from Europe and so, you know, but mostly French and Spanish and Algerians, but they were much worse treated than us, you know. Oh, crikey. They had a rough time, but they were as well forced labor, but you could classify them as slave labor. They weren't paid or anything like that at all, like us, you know. They weren't paid.
How did the Germans decide that this person will be a slave laborer and this person will be a forced laborer?
Well, the word slave labor, that is only an expression in a way of talking about the local population. The Germans never called it slave labor, because as far as I'm concerned, they didn't even know that sort of word existed. You know, it is sort of the ordinary population, say for example in this island or anywhere in Europe, they were so badly dressed and so badly treated, they looked no more than slaves.
What did the Germans call laborers like you? What was the German word for you?
Well,
Arbeiter?
Again, they called us zwangarbeiters. That is what we were classified under. Zwang is forced. In Holland, they call it dwangarbeiters. In German is zwang. We pronounce it with a D and they with a Z, zwang. But we say dwangarbeiters and say zwangarbeiters. You see, that's the difference. But
Did they call the Algerians and Spaniards zwangarbeiter?
No. I don't know what they called by name. But, you see, they used what they call subhuman, used to classify the Russians, you know. The Russian prisoners of war and Russian slave labor. Because they were so badly treated, you know. It was indescribable. But me, you know, and all my other Dutch mates as well, we had some good clothes with us as well. You know, like we used to go dancing in the evening and so, and mix with the population and so. There might even be some photographs of it that I'm there with collar and tie. Over here, there you are.
Where did you go dancing?
There.
Where?
But it used to be the Ocean Hall, the little theater, and atop the steps there by the by the market halls there, Ocean Hall, and it used to be a place like Clifton Hall, and Sonnycroft in the Grange, we used to go. But as you can tell by this photograph, look. Collar and tie, everything. You see?
That was taken in the war.
Yeah, in Guernsey, there it was.
Who is the lady?
Well, I can't remember her name, just a friend from dancing, perhaps. Again, it was taken with my camera. It's not a very clear one.
When the end of the war came, the Germans were very short of food, but the Guernsey people had the Red Cross parcels.
Yes.
What did you get?
Well, funny enough, we were not classified as currency people, so we never had a Red Cross parcel. Why, I don't know. Who was to blame for that? Whether it was the Guernsey authorities or whether it was the Germans, but nobody wanted to have anything to do with us. So up till the day that the war was finished, we never had a Red Cross parcel. And we always felt a bit hurt about it. Eh? But again, what could one do? But as soon as the war was over, perhaps 2 or 3 days after the war was over, we were told somehow or another to report there and there and there, and we could receive Red Cross parcels after the war was finished. But then it wasn't quite so necessary anymore, because the food started coming in and so on. But I think after the war was finished, I had 3 Red Cross parcels altogether. 3 Red Cross parcels. So again, I don't know where I can go from here, what else I can say.
What do you remember about the liberation of the island?
Well, when the war finished, I was friendly with a Guernsey boy by the name of Jeff Lowe, and I think he called on me. He said, come, he said, the war was finished. He said, all the British boats are in the harbour, or outside the harbour, rather, he said. Let us go and have a look. He said, I must first go home and tell my father and mother where I'm going. He said, I'll be back again in here 2 minutes. He just left in the Stanley Road, the first road on the right hand side. That's where he left. And I left just a bit further along where the girls' grammar school is. And so I started walking down the road, and then I saw a British soldier with a machine gun in his hand in the middle of the road with 5 or 6 Guernsey women amongst them, housewives, you know. And when they saw me, and I was with 2 other chaps, 2 Polish boys who were living there as well in the same house as us there, billeted there, and they started pointing us at like that. So this Tommy came to us, and he said, where are you going? What authority have you got to be walking the road like this? I said, authority? What do you mean, authority? Who are you? Said this British soldier. I said, well, I said, I'm a Dutchman, and my 2 mates here are German, Polish, I said. Have you got any identity cards to prove it what you are? And as it happened, I had my Dutch passport in my pocket. I showed him a Dutch passport. I said, I don't know what all this is about, I said. I said, we are forced laborers working for the Germans. I said, we are free now. I said, the war is over, isn't it? I said to him. Oh. And he looked at the passport. And the woman, they had a bit of a long face. They felt a bit guilty, you know. Eh? All right, and she told me, off you go. They let us go. But they held the gun, the stun gun in front of us, you know, right? To frighten us a bit, you know.
So you think the women had pointed you out as German?
Yeah, that's because we were living in the same road as the Germans, because that whole road was full with Germans, you know.
Which road was it?